In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Why, thank you, John. We want to send Darwin and the HMS Beagle down to a watery grave. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, and we'd like to welcome you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of creation evolution. Lighthearted, because that's the way we look at all things, and we just have fun looking at science and scripture, putting them all together and trying to figure out the big questions of life, namely, where do we come from, and maybe where we're going.
And all the good stuff in between.
Yes, that's exactly right, and there's some good stuff.
Well, Stan, I was just thinking, you know, I like the old songs of the 60s. I was thinking of that old Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, Teach Your Children Well.
Teach Your Children.
And teach your children well. Anyway, we're not going to sing for you because we want you to continue to listen to the show.
That's exactly right.
So, but there has been a controversy, actually, in a little town of Dover, Pennsylvania. They were not near where Punxsutawney Phil is, but in Dover, there's a controversy over what is teaching your children well.
Aha. What? We're talking about birds and bees? What are we talking about?
English?
We're talking about
evolution and creation, or where we came from. Actually, we're talking about origin there.
Origins, okay.
And it's not so much evolution versus creation as it is evolution versus ID.
ID. Now, what is ID?
ID is the new acronym for, or the new initials for, intelligent design.
Intelligent design. Now, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean that, is that a God thing?
No, it's not a God thing. Let me just, well, it could be a God thing for some people, but basically, a lady named Lark Myers.
Okay.
She's a little gift shop owner there, 45 years old. Washington Post reports the story that, you know, her quote was that, well, you know, I'd rather think that I was a descendant from some sort of god or higher being than the 50th cousin of some silverback ape, you know. I'd rather have my daughter believe that, too. So.
Yes, and really the people there in Dover are arguing about what they can have their kids hear in public school.
They don't want to teach religion there, per se. What they just really want to do is just have they say there's enough, it's an alternative to Darwinism or alternative to evolution as traditional. Traditionally taught, and they believe it's a good scientific alternative, though they're running into trouble. They're being labeled as creationists or religionists or whatever, that's not the case there. And so it's now making its way through the legal system.
But here's the rub, and it's been the rubs for 100 years or more, perhaps, in the United States, and that is we do have this sensitivity about teaching religion in public school. We, you know, the idea of bringing the Bible in and teaching it, verbatim to children sounds a little bit like maybe a little too close to church and state and all those kinds of things. But what has been difficult to deal with is the subject of origins, because scientists, let's say at the leaders of science in the United States, we sometimes refer to it on Sink the Beagle as pop science.
Yeah.
But the ones that are kind of in
or
charge
pond
of
scum.
Our vestigial pond scum. they are in charge of the textbook industry and the curriculum in our public schools, and they have carefully worked it to where science now is defined virtually as without God-ism, or in other words, atheism, or
anything.
It's got to be natural.
God.
In other
That's
words,
right.
naturalism. And so literally, if you were to even bring in the thought that there's some higher being, you are literally not talking science anymore. You've stepped into religion.
And it's not even so much they're trying to bring in the thought of a higher being, which is obviously intelligent design suggests
it's an assumption.
But it's an assumption. But they're just saying that this seems to make more sense, that there's something more out there and explains our existence better than pure Darwinism can explain it, or evolution can explain
pure,
it.
Pure materialism.
Naturalistic materialism.
Material begets material.
Philosophical materialism. There's a rock. If you wait long enough, it becomes a puppy.
A warm puppy.
No. So, but what's happening, though, is it used to be evolutionists against creationists.
Right.
But now there's
Bible thumpers versus atheists.
Atheists. And so now we're having we're getting slight shades of nuance in here, uh-huh. And the ID movement is really a movement to sort of disassociate with biblical creationism.
Right.
And yet fight against the naturalistic philosophical naturalism of mm-hmm. that is now prevalent in our Darwinian theories taught in our public schools.
Well, there's a book, it's not very old, out by Thomas Woodward. It's entitled Doubts About Darwin.
Duh.
we occasionally have shared a couple of doubts, but it's a book particularly tracing the history of the intelligent design movement, and it's reasonable to call it a movement. And he links it back to the beginnings of at least in recent time, of Michael Denton's book and his work on evolutionary theory and crisis. Now, Michael Denton was
back in the early 80s.
In the 80s, and it's a great book. Now, Michael Denton is not a Christian. In fact, he's really termed an agnostic.
Yes, he's not a Bible thumper, but he just thinks that evolution's a stupid idea, as taught.
He began to see such large problems in the theory of evolution, he wondered out loud why it was
Dare he do that?
Yeah, that there was no other options presented, or even that the problems of evolution were not even looked at very, very critically. So he wrote a book, A Theory in Crisis. Now, that book influenced a number of people.
Yeah, and one of the main ones, of course, it influenced that we like to hold up in our program is Philip E. Johnson.
Philip E. Johnson,
a lawyer.
Who we really like, even though he's a lawyer.
Even though he's a lawyer, he's the only lawyer we like, or one of the few lawyers that we know and like.
Now, Philip E. Johnson was a law professor at UC Berkeley, and he read this book, and he read along with this book, and this would be in the 80s, he read along with it Richard Dawkins, The Blind Watchmaker.
And Richard Dawkins is the Cambridge professor of Isaac Newton Chair there at Cambridge. And he's
kind of a modern Thomas Huxley in the sense that he's a very aggressive atheist.
He's the atheist of atheists. He's the one that says in his book that Darwin makes it possible to be a philosophically fulfilled atheist. And so those two books Johnson read and saw the really dramatic contrast of the argument.
Yes.
And what we like about Philip Johnson is that he's able to take it as a lawyer and put it into good, rational, logical words.
Some of the most logical
arguments
books you will ever read are books by Philip E. Johnson. But he saw Dawkins taking a very strong stance that seemed rather illogical to him. He could see that, even though Johnson wasn't coming in with a whole lot of preconceived ideas. As he looked at Denton's view of the theory in crisis and Dawkins' support of it, he thought Dawkins was being, frankly, not very scientific.
And dodging all the issues, and basically being more of an apologetic for a lousy theory, and maybe an apologetics for atheism if you really want to get into it, or at least philosophical materialism.
Well, Johnson began, to write and to talk about this, and pretty soon others kind of sprung up on the American landscape.
Out of the closet starts emerging all kinds of people who had their doubts.
You had
people like Michael Behe. Mm-hmm. He is, I should say, at Lehigh University, a Catholic biochemist. Basically, he came out with his book, Darwin's Black Box, in 1996, and that's caused a big stir and really hasn't.
Yes.
I have yet to see anyone from the evolutionary side of the aisle ever even really give a rational critique.
Well, his irreducible complexity was so fundamentally sound that we haven't heard a lot of negativity on the view of it.
Oh, the name-calling.
The irreducible complexity, meaning that biological systems, to evolve, they would have to evolve really, really miraculously, because the different parts of the system that make it work, a biological system to work, have to all evolve together. There's no way that part of it could evolve separately.
No intermediate stages that really work in organs or major species.
To aid a species to evolve, give it an advantage.
2% of an eye is not an advantage.
It's not an advantage, it's a disadvantage.
It actually would limit you. Mm-hmm. And following people like, now you went from Denton to Johnson to Behe, you start having people writing Stephen Meyer and Dembski and
William Dembski,
Jonathan Wells.
Exactly. William Dembski particularly stands out, and that is the one who wrote The Design Inference and No Free Lunch and so forth. This fellow is when you look at, and here to me is where intelligent design really steps up to the plate. What they are, I like to think of them as a bunch of mathematicians, because they're really talking about what are the chances mathematically for A, B, C, D, whatever the illustration is at the time, to have happened through mere chance. Mm-hmm. And they go through the different possibilities of is it mere chance, randomness, da 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 da, or does intelligence have something to do with this existing the way it is?
That's right.
And they go mathematically through a series of works to where it shows that mathematically it's there. You can't argue that the chances for things being the way they are had to have some kind of designer, some first cause,
something's back there bigger than what we can measure, what we can experiment with. And so as a result of doing it, they are trying to put forth
right
a theory.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to, especially this group here, by the ID people, though Behe is a Catholic. I talked to him on the phone. Behe has seven mm-hmm. children. Baby needs new shoes, you know.
Boy.
He's a good Catholic out of Lehigh. Yet they really don't emphasize God.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't necessarily emphasize short age. There's not really any short agers that we're listing here
right.
among us. They
right.
are long age people. We'd call them theistic evolutionists, but maybe they don't like that term either. They yeah. like to keep theism out of it and yeah. just keep this generic term called intelligent design and try to keep that generic term and just say,
yes.
let's look at the concept of evolution and say it's all wet. Let's start looking
yes.
at new possibilities and get mm-hmm. some new paradigms started, folks.
And they want to avoid any reference to the Bible and to overt religion and so forth like that. They like to really stay in the camp of science as they talk about these issues.
The one thing that we kind of separate ourselves, I believe, mm-hmm. from the intelligent design people, though we agree with all what they say.
Especially their arguments of evolution are just outstanding.
They bash evolution. They put more, they give us the torpedoes to sink the Beagle.
Yes.
But it's not just enough to sink the Beagle. Mm-hmm. We feel on sink the Beagle.
Yeah.
The idea is to also have something else in its place. A safe ark, if you would, that you really can believe. A boat that you can ride through life mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. not just a Beagle that we take down.
Mm-hmm.
And the ID people still struggle with things like suffering and pain and death, and they really don't deal well with those issues either, mm-hmm. any more than evolutionists do. We believe the Bible has the answer to those things and give us the true picture of what it is and points to the name and the character and the mm-hmm. the intelligent designer. We even have a torpedo text.
Yes, and it's from Romans 1, and we've used this text before, but it is Romans 1, verse 20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." In other words, in my thinking, what Paul is saying to the Romans there is, can you not see the design of God in nature?
Yeah, and these guys are saying, we see design.
We see design.
They don't want to label the designer. Maybe
right.
they need to come out of the closet
right.
spiritually, or maybe they just hasn't quite reached faith. But here at St. Mm-hmm. Beagle, we see both the design and the designer, which is more important. It's not enough to see just the design.
We are unabashed creationists and short agers, and we do believe that God gave us the Bible to answer these difficult questions about where sin and suffering and death came from. You cannot get all the answers you need in life by just studying nature.
Yep. We ask you to go beyond ID. All the way to IDing them as your personal savior.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Island.